So this evening, we are finishing off our series on Nehemiah, which we should have done 2 weeks ago, but we're doing it tonight, and this is Nehemiah 3 to bring this series to an end. Next week, in the evening, we begin our new series on the Judges. Unlikely Heroes, that's what it's called, isn't it? Yeah, I should know. But tonight we're talking on Nehemiah 3. So I've preached a lot recently. And that may be a good thing, it may not be. But I preached in Findon this morning. It's always very interesting, the reaction that you get afterwards. You get some people come up to you that are genuinely challenged, genuinely moved, genuinely kind of, yeah, they really felt the message was for them. You get others that come up to you and give you that word of encouragement, which is fantastic. You get the ones that walk past you, making every attempt they can to avoid eye contact with you. And it's particularly encouraging when the topic of conversation after my sermon is about my weight. I don't remember preaching on that, but yes, I read a story about a pastor who was approached by a lady after the sermon, after he preached, and she said to him, that was a fantastic sermon, pastor, that was really good. And he said, oh, I've got to give all the credit to the Holy Spirit. And she said, it wasn't that good. I read the other day a definition of a good sermon. It should have a good beginning, a good ending, and they should be as close together as possible. I don't agree with that. But it's been great to be back in the swing of things since the summer break with Cafe Connect and the Friday Club and the Youth Club and everything else that goes on around here. Getting back into the schools, it's been fantastic to be back. And you meet a wide variety of people in everything that we do here with the coffee pot and the coffee time and the craft club, ladies fellowship. You meet a very wide variety of people, and you look around the church and there's a wide variety of people around the church, or there should be. And this is because God needs a wide variety of different people to do all the jobs that he's got. As we've seen in the passage here, there's loads of different people here that God has used. There's a lot of different jobs that the Lord wants done, so he needs a lot of different people to do it. If you look in the church, there's preaching and teaching, there's the maintenance, there's the kids' work, there's the teas and coffees, the toddler groups, the messy church, church leadership. If you look outside the church, there's the widow that needs visiting, there's the family that can't afford to put food on the table, there's a person who needs their friend to tell them about Jesus. There's both within the church and in people's lives, there's lots of things that the Lord needs done. Through people that we know, people that we see, family, friends, neighbours, colleagues. Now, Nehemiah 3, for me, kind of epitomises the phrase, never judge a book by its cover. Because actually, on the face of it, it just looks like a list of names, a list of information that might seem actually quite irrelevant. But the more I studied it, the more I love it. Someone once said to me, why do you read the Bible? It's boring. I said, no, you're boring. The Bible is amazing. In amongst all those names in there that no one could pronounce except for David, this passage has a lot to teach us about the work of God. It's got practical lessons in there which speak to us in Aldwick, in line with the vision that God has given us. There's a lot to learn. And this evening, I just want to bring out 8 points, 8 lessons that I believe that this passage has got for us. If you've got your Bibles open, that's great. I'm going to be dipping in and out a little bit, just trying to bring out these 8 messages which I believe that the Lord has for us this evening. So message one, they were going to come up on the screen. I'm guessing they're not. It's fine. They were only words, no fancy pictures or anything. Message one, we must take the initiative. Nehemiah took the initiative to go and start rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. He didn't sit around talking about it. I read a quote the other day about committees, about how they take minutes but waste hours. Nehemiah didn't sit around talking about this. He didn't sit there saying, oh, hoping somebody else would do it. He got up and he got on with it. He took the initiative. And then the high priest and his fellow priests, the leaders, led by example. They came and got their hands dirty and led by example. It's interesting to to note that the high priest would have, in that time, would have worn a sacred garment. Would have been made out of linen, would have been gold, blue, purple, scarlet, would have had 12 precious stones that were set in gold with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. On his head, he'd have had a blue turban with an engraving in pure gold, holy to the Lord. Despite this, despite his position, despite what he would have been wearing, there he was, laying bricks, moving rubble, leading by example, taking the initiative. Once we start looking for opportunities to be used by God, he will steer us, but we've got to be moving. Lesson 2 comes from verse 5, if you've got your Bibles open. We must expect opposition. Here was Nehemiah. He was trying to rebuild a wall to make Jerusalem a safe place again. A wall which would regain a bit of Jerusalem's lost glory. A wall which would have allowed the people there to worship in the temple again without fear. When we do the Lord's will, we come up against opposition, don't we? Nehemiah, in this passage, highlights there's five kinds of opposition that he came up against in this passage. And some of these will probably sound familiar to you. In verse 5, we got the nobles. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. Apathy. The first opposition that Nehemiah came up against was apathy. There's always those that can't be bothered, is there, or don't really care. Tekoa would have been about 11 miles away from Jerusalem, and some of these people, the people would have commuted in and been building this wall, but not the nobles. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. They were far too important to be bossed around by somebody else. We just move over a page into chapter 4. I didn't feel it was fair to get David to read chapter 4 as well. The first verse of chapter 4, we see anger. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. Nehemiah was ticking people off doing this. Sanballat was angry and greatly incensed about the rebuilding of the wall. It always saddens me when the things that Christians get angry about, when there's poverty and slavery and greed and terrorism and we sit getting angry about drums and chairs and kids making a noise and dress codes. But anger is part of the course for serving the Lord. You're going to come up against it. You might not be doing things the way that other people think they should be done. You might not be doing things the way that they've always been done. The second part of that verse, the first verse there, he ridiculed the Jews. Ridicule is another opposition that we're going to come up against. He was so angry that he ridiculed the Jews. And it might not sound like much, but I'm sure we can all understand how much damage that can do. A little bit of discouragement can do. I looked up the word ridicule in the dictionary, and it literally means trouble, to rage against, to mock, to put down, to make fun of. They were ridiculing, they were mocking, they were making fun of these people that were trying to rebuild the wall. Criticism, verses 2 and 3. What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Criticism. It's those little voices in the background that get in your head, that can instill, that was too long, that was too loud, that was too boring. Here we see, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they finish in a day? And then moving on to verse 8 in chapter 4. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. We've got to expect a fight. And this is not a simple full frontal assault, them running at you to attack you. They plotted. Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them. They plotted to come in and cause trouble. And moving on through chapter 4, Nehemiah gives us, there's five lessons here into how we can overcome this opposition. So we've got apathy, anger, ridicule, criticism. We've got to expect a fight. In chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says here, "Hear us, O our God, for we are despised." We've got to keep on praying as we serve the Lord. Whatever we come up against, we've got to keep on praying. Verse 6, "So we rebuilt the wall until all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." We've got to keep on working. We've got to keep on praying. We've got to keep on working. Verse 14, "After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes.'" We've got to keep on encouraging each other. We've got to keep on praying, keep on working, and keep on encouraging. Verse 16, "From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah." The officers were leading. They were leading their people. We've got to keep on praying, keep on working, keep on encouraging, keep on leading. We're all leaders in some part of our lives. We might not be in the church leadership, we might not lead a group, but in some aspect of our life, we lead something, and we've got to keep on doing that in the name of the Lord. In verse 22, where are we? "At that time, I also said to the people, 'Have every man and his helpers stay inside Jerusalem at night, so that they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day.'" We've got to keep on watching. We've got to stay alert. These are the five lessons which are given to us here as to how to overcome this opposition. Was the wall completed? Yes, it was. Perseverance in the Lord's will against all this opposition will always reap rewards. Back into chapter 3 and on to lesson number 3. We must take the initiative, we must expect opposition, and now we need to do what needs to be done. In these verses, we see that there's goldsmiths, there's perfume makers. What do they know about building walls? But there they are, getting their hands dirty. They're doing what needs to be done. God doesn't need fully trained professional Christian workers to build his church. He needs ordinary people that are willing to work. "I'm too good to do this kind of work." You hear that, don't you? "I'm not good enough to do this kind of work." You hear that too. "I can't do that. I don't have the right education. I don't have the right gifts. I don't have enough money." But these people weren't making excuses. They were looking at the work that needed to be done. And they were going, "I'm not sure how to do it, but I see that something needs to be done, and I'm willing to do it." There's going to be unpleasant jobs to do. Verse 13 and 14 talks about the dung gate. Now, it wasn't literally made out of dung, but it would have been beside where the waste was disposed of. So you work in there, it's going to smell a bit. And there's going to be jobs that need doing, that the Lord needs doing, that literally stink. But they still need to be done. They're not glamorous or exciting, but they are essential. I don't particularly enjoy stacking chairs, moving tables around, cleaning toys, but they're an essential part of the outreach that the Lord is doing here. Who cleans the toilets? Who cleans the baptistry? Who visits the old lady? Who goes to the prison? Who loves the young people? They might not always seem like attractive jobs, but the Lord needs them done. We've got to work with a passion. Lesson 5, verse 20. Throughout the chapter, there's only one person that is described as working zealously. This word means to burn or to glow. He was serving, he was on fire, he was full of energy. Barak wasn't worried about what everyone else was doing or not doing. He wanted to go the extra mile, get the work done with zeal and with passion. It's one thing we lack as Brits, isn't it? Passion. We can get passionate about the football or the rugby. I got pretty passionate last night when we beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. That was fantastic. We can get passionate about things we watch on telly, the music we like. But how often do we really get passionate about serving the Lord? Lesson 6, we've got to put others first. There's a lot of us that will only go out of our way to do something if we get something out of it. Yeah, I'll serve the Lord, but only if it benefits me. We might never say that out loud, but actions can speak louder than words. Meremoth, son of Uriah, son of Hakos, repaired a section from the entrance of Eliashib's house to the end of it. He was repairing a section of the wall outside somebody else's house. He was putting this person first. And in a world that is so self-obsessed, so wrapped up in itself, this is what Christians need to do. They need to stand out from the crowd and to stand up and put others first. Lesson 7, this might be a challenging one. We've got to work with others. We look at verse 22. We've got to work with others. Sometimes this is certainly easier said than done. But how often does the work of the Lord get hindered because there's somebody that we don't really want to work with? Priests from the surrounding area came to work. It was right for Nehemiah to ask God's people from all over the world to come and help rebuild this wall. And it's right for us to ask each other here, to ask the people in this community, to ask the world to come and help us with the work of the Lord here. Why? Because the Lord's work is the only thing that's important. People are different. We've got to deal with it. God's made us all in his image. And that person you don't really want to work with, they represent God too. They're made in God's image too. And the 8th and final point is that there is a job for you to do. If you're willing, God will use it. If we look at verse 27, the men of Tekoa, the common, ordinary men, they finish the section that they were working on earlier on in the passage, and they go on and work in another section. They don't go, oh, I've done my job, I'm going home now. They were in it together as a team. They were building this together. Is the kingdom of God full? This is a question. No? Is everyone you know going to heaven? Do they know Jesus? The fact that we answered no to those questions shows that there is still a job for you to do. You're still here because God has still got something for you to do. Look around. Look at the church. Look at the community. Look at people's lives. There are jobs that need to be done. There are cakes that need to be baked, dishes that need to be washed, kids that need to be taught, young people that need to be loved. There's a holiday club that needs to be run. There's a sick child that needs your prayers. There's a girl who needs a new pair of shoes, but her mum can't afford to buy them for her. There's a child that no one wants. There's a house that needs painting, a grieving widow that needs company. There's a man who wants to go to heaven but doesn't know how. We've got to pray that we'll see things the way that God sees them, that we can look around this community with God's eyes, see the hurt, see the need. And then we've got to take the initiative. Expect and overcome opposition. Do what needs to be done, even the unpleasant jobs. We've got to work with passion, put others first, work with others, and we've got to do something. This is how Nehemiah and his team worked to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And this is the way that we need to work to build the kingdom of God here in Aldwick. A man goes to heaven, and there's an angel showing him around, and they're walking around the walls of the city, and they come to a place where the wall isn't quite finished, and the man looks at the angel and says, why is that bit of the wall not finished? And she turns to him and says, that was your part of the wall, and you couldn't be bothered to do it. We have a vision here at Aldwick, an exciting vision given to us by God, and a vision to love people, not just the people that we like. We've got to love people. We've got to reach people. Who are we reaching out to? We've got to build people. Are we growing in the Lord? Are we helping others grow in the Lord? By loving, reaching, and building together, We can, with the Lord's help, build the kingdom of God in this community. We can see lives changed, people saved. We can see revival. But we've got to be in it together through it all. Taking the initiative, expecting opposition, doing what needs to be done, even the unpleasant jobs, working with passion, putting others first, working with others, and doing something. If you are willing, God will use you.